Again, I can't help but comment on the beautiful singing this morning. It's just wonderful. It's encouraging and uplifting, and I appreciate the song selection this morning and all of you for lifting up your voices and praise to God as well. This morning, I again want to call your attention to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. I hope you'll turn there and perhaps underline as we go. The Bible says there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for all. There are three marvelous, great ideas found in this verse. First of all, there's one God. And of course, we know that God exists. The second great idea is men. We know that man exists. And the third great idea, there's one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ. Jesus was the God-man. He was the mediator between God and man. You know, this is a subject of supreme importance because it deals with man's fundamental relationship with God. And I believe it ought to be of great interest because it declares that man, even though he was separated from God by sin, can once again be reconciled to his heavenly Father. You know, today we're concerned about COVID. We obviously have seeing the impact that COVID has made on our country. And certainly we have a right to be somewhat concerned, or not, if not very concerned, about this pandemic. But you know, as important as COVID might be today, it pales in comparison to the importance of our relationship with God. And the remedy to the barrier of sin that separates man from God. But this passage in 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 5, declares that man can be reconciled to God. Now, the first great idea found in this passage is God. The Bible over and over again assumes the existence of God. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, the Bible says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." Now think about that. In the beginning, God. That's as far back as we can go. You know, there really is, or shouldn't be, any word such as prehistoric. Why have the word prehistoric? History. There's no such thing. As far back as we can go on this earth is Genesis 1 and verse 1, in the beginning, God. And there are various reasons why we believe that God exists. For example, in Psalms 19 verse 1, the Bible says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament shows his handiwork." And thus nature testifies not only to the existence of God, but to his creative work. Over in the book of Romans chapter 1 and verse 20, Paul argued that the invisible attributes of God are clearly seen, are clearly understood in the things that he has created. And we must therefore believe that God is, Hebrews 11 and verse 6, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And the Bible emphasizes the marvelous attributes of our great God. For example, God is omnipotent. God created this universe. He spoke this universe and our world into existence, and he upholds it by the word of his power. And God provides for everything on earth and for all people that dwell on earth. God is also omniscient. He knows all. God knows everything that's going on throughout the universe. He understands our thoughts, our motives, our desires. As the writer of Hebrews said in chapter 4 and verse 13, all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. But notice that God is also omnipresent. He pervades the universe. He fills the whole world with His presence. And according to Psalms 139, there is no place we can go. There's no place we can possibly be to escape the presence of God. Wherever we go, we find Him there. You know, God is also omnivisual in that He sees all. Hagar said in Genesis 16 and verse 13, "Thou, God, seest me." And God sees and understands everything that we think and say and do. Let's understand that our great God is a personality. He's not some inanimate deity, but He's a real, living, personal, loving, kind, and gracious Heavenly Father. God therefore sees and hears and knows, and He loves every one of us. And our God is endowed with the ability to hate sin, and oh, how our sin grieves God. When we repent, God rejoices. God feels and expresses emotions, thus proving that He is a real, living personality. But our God is also omnibenevolent. He provides all of our material necessities, such as food and clothing and shelter. You think about the air that we breathe, the life that we enjoy. Truly, as Paul said, in Him we live and move and have our very being. Were it not for God, we would not even be here today. But perhaps more importantly, God provides salvation from sin, which we could never provide for ourselves. He gives us spiritual guidance in this life through His Word. And by His marvelous grace, He gives us eternal life in the world to come. But not only consider the attributes of God, think about the nature of God. God is infinitely holy, and He's incapable of sin. Sin is offensive to His holiness, and God must oppose it. And God is absolutely just and right and fair and impartial in His dealings with mankind. And being a just God, He must condemn, He must punish sin, for it's a violation of His law. And God is also a God of mercy. Micah 7 and verse 16 says that God delights in mercy. In the New Testament, our God is described as a God of love, 1 John 4 and verse 8. He's described as a God whose goodness leads all men to repentance, Romans 2 and verse 4. And He's a God whose marvelous grace is able to save. What a wonderful and great God that we have. He's an omnipotent Creator. He's a merciful and gracious Savior. He's a loving Heavenly Father. He is interested, vitally interested in every one of us. And God is not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, the second great idea that we find in this passage in 1 Timothy is the idea of man. Now, man is the highest creative work of God. Man was created in the very image of God, endowed with His immortal spirit and divine nature. Man was made a little lower than God and given authority over all the animal creation, Psalms chapter 8. And we need to understand today, particularly in the time in which we live, that man possesses a dual nature. Because man is both body and spirit. Notice that Paul spoke of the outward man as well as the inward man, thus recognizing the duality of our human nature in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16. Paul spoke of the first man, the physical. He spoke of the second man, the spiritual, in 1 Corinthians 15, 45 and 46. Even Jesus Christ himself recognized that man is both physical and spiritual. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 10, verse 28, "Fear not them which are able to kill the body, but rather fear him who's able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Now, having this dual nature, the fact that we are physical as well as spiritual beings, man therefore is superior to the animal creation. We have been endowed with an immortal soul, a conscience, a will, a longing for communion with God. But if you look at the Bible, you'll notice that the Bible pictures man as being sinful. Man violated God's law. Man fell from divine favor. Man is separated because of his sin from his Creator. We know that God drove Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden because their sins had separated them from his holy fellowship. And that's the nature of sin. Sin separates us from God. And in sin, we are cut off from the divine fellowship. In sin, we are deprived of divine favor. In sin, we are estranged from the divine presence. In other words, man stands condemned and hopeless and helpless in the sight of God. That's why Ezekiel 18 verse 4 says, "The soul that sins, it shall die." The wages of sin is death, Romans 6 and verse 23. And by sinning, man violated the law of God. And as a result, man stands under just condemnation. Man is defiled by sin. Man is unclean and unholy. And therefore, he is unfit to stand in the sinless presence of our Heavenly Father. And man's also dead in sin. Being separated from God, being dead in sin, there's a great need. And that need is to be reconciled to his Heavenly Father. That's why Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 19, "Be reconciled to God." Being guilty of the divine law, man needs pardon. Man needs forgiveness. And that's provided in Christ Jesus. That's why the Bible says in Ephesians 1 and verse 7, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins." You know, being defiled and polluted by sin, man needs cleansing. That cleansing can only come through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. That's why Isaiah said in chapter 1 and verse 18, "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." 1 John 1 verse 7 says, "The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." And being dead in trespasses and sins, man needs to be made alive. He needs regeneration. And this takes place by and only through the Lord Jesus Christ. Though lost in sin, separated from God, condemned by his just wrath, man has a loving Father and a wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. There's God, there's men, The third idea, though, in this passage of 1 Timothy 2, is the God-man. There's one God. There's one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all. Think about this question this morning. Why is Jesus the one and the only mediator between God and man? Why does the Bible say emphatically that there's no one else? There's no preacher, there's no priest, there's no pastor, there's no rabbi, there's no bishop. Not even the Virgin Mary can stand between the sinner and God. Why is there only one mediator, Jesus Christ, between God and man? Well, the answer is given in the above passage that we've looked at. First of all, Jesus is endowed with both divine and human natures. He thus was literally the God-man. And secondly, he alone gave himself as a ransom for all. The incarnation of Jesus, the fact that Jesus emptied himself and came to earth from heaven and was made in the likeness of men, and he became one of us and lived like us upon this earth. The incarnation is necessary to his being the mediator between us and God. Jesus was both God and man. In John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, Jesus Christ, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. Verse 14 says that the Word, Jesus Christ, was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Folks, this is one of the fundamental doctrines of Christianity. Jesus can mediate between God and man because he was both God and man. Being divine, he understands the nature of God. He reveals God's will to man. Being human, he understands our needs. He understands our weaknesses and our shortcomings, and he can thus present them properly before the Father. And thus Jesus, the God-man, he is the connecting link between God and man. And that's why Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. That's why Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 19 that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. See, only through Christ does God approach sinful man. And only in and through Christ can man possibly approach Christ and be reconciled to him. And we must get into Jesus Christ if we want to be saved. We must be in Jesus Christ if we want to be reconciled to Him, because it's only in Christ that we can be reconciled to God. If you look at Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26, the Bible says, "You are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." And here's how it happens. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. You see, if Jesus had not been divine, he could not have understood the Father's will and revealed it to man. Had Jesus not been human, he could not have understood our weaknesses and our shortcomings and our needs. Therefore, to be the proper mediator between God and man, he must be a God-man. Leaving heaven, where he existed with the Father from all eternity, Jesus voluntarily came to this earth. He lived as a man. He knew all the experiences of a man except that of sin. And in doing this, Jesus qualified himself as our high priest. And now is sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding, pleading for us. He was tempted in all points like as we are. He was touched with the feelings of our infirmities and can therefore properly present our needs before the Father. What a wonderful Savior we have. You know, being a God-man, Jesus gave himself as a ransom on the cross for our sins. Mary was not a God-man, nor even a God-woman in that particular sense, nor did she ever die on the cross for the sins of the world. Therefore, she could never become this mediator between God and man. There's no other person, there's no other being that could be this mediator except Jesus Christ. Jesus is the incarnate God. He is therefore our only Savior, and we are to preach Jesus Christ to the world. He is the remedy for the greatest plague that mankind has ever known, the plague of sin that separates us from God. That's man's greatest need. It's not a vaccine for COVID. It's not the cure for cancer. The greatest need man has today is the need to be cured of sin. And that's why we are to preach Jesus Christ to the world. We are to trust Him. We are to obey Him. His name we are to wear. His Spirit we need to reproduce in our lives as we live each and every day. His name we are to wear. His mind we are to possess. His example we are to emulate. His work we are to do. And so today we need to determine that we're going to obey Jesus Christ as our Savior, as the Lord and Master of our lives. And in doing this, we can say with the Apostle Paul, I am crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live. It's Christ living in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Do you today appreciate everything God has done and continues to do on your behalf? Do you understand the hopeless and helpless condition that you were in before Jesus Christ came and paid the price for our sins and is now our mediator interceding on our behalf? Do you understand that the only way that you can be saved today is to be in Christ Jesus? And the only way to get into Jesus Christ is to be baptized into Jesus Christ, Romans 6:3-4. Maybe that's a need you have today. Maybe you're outside of Christ, and if that's your case, you're without hope in this world. Maybe today you haven't lived a life that exemplifies thankfulness for what God and Jesus Christ has done on your behalf. If you need to come today for any reason at all, we ask that you come now while we stand and sing.